Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Discussions on gear, technique, industry news, and interviews with the best in the business. Now, here are your hosts, Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces Podcast. This is Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
And this is Brian Berkowitz here from New York. And we have another special guest with us today. Jason Berkowitz, who I've had the privilege of knowing for just under 30 years, as he is my brother. He owns a SEO and internet marketing agency out here in New York. So Jason, why don't you say hello to our listeners, introduce yourself, tell us about your company and what exactly you do out here.
Hey everybody, my name is Jason Berkowitz out here in New York City, and I own a digital marketing firm out here in the city. We specialize in full service digital marketing agency stuff. SEO, Facebook ads, retargeting, web design, development, pay-per-click, and we can be found at breaktheweb.org, seoservicesnewyork.org, and you can visit my personal website, jasonberkowitz.com.
And everything will be in the show notes, I'm sure.
Sure. Now, out of all the things you listed, I think SEO is probably most prevalent to our listeners, at least to start off with. So tell us from an expert standpoint, what exactly is SEO? What does it mean? What is, you know, what does it stand for? What's the acronym stand for? What do people have to know about it?
All right. So the acronym of SEO stands for search engine optimization. And depending on who you speak to in the industry, they might have a different definition on what SEO is. Essentially, search engine optimization is using a variety of methods or tactics to increase a website's position on Google specifically, or Bing and Yahoo, if people decide to search through those, to get better visibility and awareness for people that are actively searching for them, whether it's using search terms or keywords, and keywords are search terms that people might type in for your specific industry. That's really the process of SEO, is really using specific methods, whether it's on-page SEO or off-page SEO. On-page is really anything that's taking place on your website. There's two halves to the SEO campaign. Or off-page SEO, which is aspects taking place off of the website. And we can dive into that a little bit later. It could get a little bit technical, but every SEO campaign to have complete success requires both on-page and off-page SEO. And that's depending on who you speak to, depending on what classification of SEO they're in. There's many different quote-unquote hats. We've all heard of a black hat SEO, but that's kind of frowned upon in the industry. But essentially, using methods and philosophies that are used to increase trust and authority within the website in the search engines.
So yeah, we'll definitely, Jason, dive into a little bit of on-page and off-page in a little bit. But in our industry, compared to most, we're in a very word-of-mouth and referral-based industry. And many people will say, I don't necessarily need SEO. I don't, you know, my site is just there because it has to be there, but I don't really get any leads from that. And most of my business comes from word-of-mouth, which is true. But I definitely feel, I mean, me, for instance, personally, that's how it is for me now. But I was able to kick off and jumpstart my business because I'm ranking on the first page of Google. And I was, you know, I was able to, you know, get clients because of that, get those initial clients. So what are your thoughts to somebody in our industry that would say, I don't necessarily need it because we're a word of mouth industry?
Well, I think everybody needs it. Essentially, it's free traffic. It's not like Google AdWords or Facebook ads where you're paying every time somebody clicks on your link in the advertisements. It's 100% free traffic. And if you're there in the positions, if somebody says, how do I find you? And let's say, for example, you don't have a business card, just say Google real estate photographer, Miami. And if your website's there, that A also signals that you're authoritative, because if Google is telling you that you're the number one website or the number one provider of real estate photography in Miami, you must be good.
Sure. Yeah. I love that, because I always tell people that it doesn't necessarily mean when agents look at either cold calling you, they look at a website and they think, oh my God, the photos are great and they're cheaper. A lot of times they're going to go with that because they think it's apples to apples. But I guess the best part is just, you know, getting popping up first in the search engine. It's a great way to start, and then you can back it up with your work.
Yeah. And there's always people that are typing in all these different search terms into Google, and if your website does appear, that's a plus. You know, it can't hurt, especially if you're in a non-competitive city, a city that's not dominated by big players. You have a chance to get traffic, but it's all 100% free. And that's the great thing about it, is you're not paying per click. It might take a little bit of investment, and the investment could be time as opposed to a financial investment. So it's a lot easier as opposed to Google AdWords and Facebook ads and all the different other forms of marketing specifically.
Yes, and I agree with that. While, you know, most cities, you know, I'm in New York, have a lot of competition, and smaller cities definitely have less competition. What I've noticed is there's not a lot of competition out there for people that are trying to rank in the top 3, 4, 5 spots on Google. So in an industry that we're in, especially when it's very localized by region, that we're looking for, most of the photographers are, you know, just basically trying to go after their local region. It's not that hard to rank fairly quickly onto the first page of Google.
Yeah, at times it can't be. Obviously, you're not going for, like, obviously in New York City, we have some really crazy search terms, which are super competitive. Things like personal injury lawyer is probably one of the most competitive search terms. You're nowhere near that at all. And just investing time into the SEO campaign and investing time into your website can really have some great benefits and warrant into great visibility. You never know who's searching. You never know what they're typing in.
Sure. Now, before we go into anything, I guess, technical or any tips that you can share with us, let's take just a step back. And why don't you share a little bit of your story? I mean, I obviously know your story, but just tell people how you got from a personal trainer, which is what you were, to what you do now.
Yeah. So around 2009, I was personal training. And just like anyone else, I was doing the hustle, struggling to get new business. And I went on Google looking for a way to increase business, how to market myself, being super cost effective. Obviously, I didn't have a lot of money to market with. So I learned about SEO and I started networking with some great minds. I gave a lot of free personal training programs to people in exchange for some great tips. A lot of great people had some coaching programs that I just simply couldn't afford. So I kind of bartered my way into their inner circle and learned about tricks, did a lot of data testing, probably spent a good 2 years analyzing data. I'm one of those data nerds, and just learning how to rank websites on Google, specifically my website. And while at the time I had a passion for personal training and helping people get better, my passion for training turned into a passion for SEO and kind of figuring out a strategy to get websites to the top for different search terms. And I ended up creating my own agency website in 2012. That was the first one, SEOServicesNewYork.org, which ended up ranking for a variety of New York SEO terms. People that would need SEO services would type in these search terms into Google looking for an agency like mine. And then from there, it kind of grew. It exploded. Since SEOServicesNewYork.org is not very brandable, we made Break the Web, which is the parent company of SEO Services New York. And then here we are today, full service digital marketing agency providing everything under the sun.
Well, I think that's the number one trust factor. Obviously, if you're running an SEO agency and you're showing up, you know, first or second on Google, then people know you know what to do and you're legit.
Oh, yeah. Especially when people call us, they say, oh, why are you better than they always ask, why are you better than the other company? Well, how did you find us? Is what I say to them. They go, ah, yeah, good point.
That's great. Yeah. Just while I was surfing around here, I was just looking up Northern California real estate photographer, and I'm number one. How the hell did that happen?
That's awesome.
1-2. Now, let me ask you a question though. Could that have to do with I'm looking it up on my phone, or would that be the same if anybody was looking in Google?
Yeah, Google is very odd in that sense. So if you're logged in, well, if you want to be a little creepy, you can go to a website, dashboard.google.com, and see pretty much everything Google has on you. You can see interests, activities, search history. And if you're frequently searching a term or frequently visiting a website, while logged into Google or your Google account, your Gmail, they will show you personalized results. So personally, when I'm doing search terms to see where things are ranking, there's softwares that can auto track rankings. But if I'm just doing a manual search, I usually go to incognito mode or private browsing, depending on which one, and perform a search. And also, there was a point where Google about a year ago allowed you to search from a specific location. So within the search results, there was a setting where you can change your specific location and make a search. And they got rid of that, but there's also a third-party website, which is really cool. I'll just plug them. I have no affiliation with them. iSearchFrom.com, if you want incognito results from a specific location as well.
Sounds good. Good tips.
Let's dive a little bit. I guess we'll start with a little on-page SEO. And most of the people that are listening to this are in the same boat. They're real estate photographers, might be a few architectural or interiors, but most of the listeners are real estate photographers. What should they look for? What are the most basic things they can do to try to boost their ranking? Well, first off, I guess, see where they're ranking, find out where they stand compared to the competition, and then give themselves a little bit of a boost.
Absolutely. And in the beginning of every SEO campaign, before on-page SEO, before off-page SEO, there's keyword research. And thankfully, you guys are not in a crazy, crazy competitive industry where keyword research doesn't need to be extensive. You know, you're trying to put yourself in the mind of the prospective customer and what somebody would type in. And then you can reverse engineer that to see how much monthly searches are coming in, if it's really worth your time. If you're in a really, really small city, it may not be worth your time. But if you're near a rural area or a metro city, then obviously it could be worth your time to perform keyword research and see how many people are typing in real estate photographer Chicago. And there's many different websites. I would say the best one is Google Keyword Planner. And that's a tool that is meant for people using Google AdWords. But then you take those keywords and you implement them on your website to kind of create a relevancy, a geographical relevancy, an industry relevancy within your website. And that could all be done with the title, the content, the text on the page, the meta information. There's many different places where you can get those relevancy factors in. So when the Google bots and the Google crawlers, all within their algorithm, read your website, they understand what your site's about. And Google's a probability algorithm, so they really rely on the information that's given to them. And the more information you can give them about your website, the better chances you have of ranking from an on-page SEO standpoint.
Well, tell me a few key... Okay, now this is Rich talking, who knows nothing about SEO. I did not pay for SEO, but I did get a good ranking, only because people told me that it really had a lot to do with WordPress for me. And it had a lot to do with keywords. Just tell me a few basic keywords that we might think about incorporating in posts and in the websites and in your blog. What are some real estate related keywords that we might not be thinking of?
Well, since Brian actually did the work, I think he would probably be the best bet in this. He actually spent the time doing the keyword research, but off the top of my head, real estate photographer, city, whatever city you're in. Architectural photographer, architectural photography, real estate photography.
Yeah.
All different variations of the primary keyword. And Brian, are there any others that you found?
Yeah, that was primarily what I went after, was real estate photographer, real estate photography, along with my city. I'm out here on Long Island and I rank for Long Island fairly well, much better than New York City. And I did that strategically because it's a lot easier to rank on Long Island than New York City for me. And I'm out here anyway, so I figured I'd rather not travel as far. But I mean, those were the basic keywords that I went after. If there were a couple little, you know, extra stuff, you know, I think I went after commercial photography a little bit here and there, although that's still very broad, so I didn't want to focus on that too much. But most of it was, as you said, real estate photography, real estate photographer with different variations along with my city, the before or after, and, you know, interior photography, different things of the sort.
And Google is very smart on that. So if, for example, you have the page title, the title of that specific page you're on your website, and it says Joe Schmo Photography, maybe a dash, real estate photographer, Chicago, Google actually recognizes real estate photographer to be the same as real estate photography, Chicago. Or they also recognize that to be the same as Chicago real estate photography. So they understand synonyms and variations of a certain word and kind of classify them in a keyword set to kind of keep them relevant. So again, if somebody types in real estate photographer and your page title has the words real estate photography, you will still benefit from it.
On that point, that means that it's not necessarily for me to go after four or five of the same variations of keywords. For instance, Long Island real estate photographer, Long Island real estate photography, Long Island. Those are all pretty much, you know, just different variations of the same thing. And because Google can detect that, there's no reason for me to really go after every single one of those keywords, but I'm assuming a nice variation throughout your website is good.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you try not to over-optimize your website for a certain keyword. It allows more diversity in the content. You know, if you have the words real estate photography 70 times in one paragraph, it just doesn't look natural. And that's a lot of the big goals nowadays, not only to just throw the keywords in there as much as possible, but also to convert the traffic that comes in. You know, having number one can be great and all, but if the traffic doesn't convert into visitors, just destroys the whole thing. Yeah, throwing the variations there, it keeps the content flowing nicely. Add some variety in your words. You could even add pauses in between different words, you know, real estate photographer in Chicago, and just play around with it, trying to keep it as natural as possible. Getting the words in there at a nice, decent rate.
I got a question for you. I'm just popping up a few things that I've wondered about. That I've always heard, you know, haven't really gotten into SEO, which I probably should get more into. But I got a couple of questions. So First of all, I know that everybody who's ever helped me with or told me about building a website has told me that WordPress platform is very friendly with Google or vice versa, and it is a great way to get noticed. So if you're going to have your website, it's going to really help to have it be WordPress-based. What is your feeling on that?
Well, I think WordPress is user-friendly, but not for Google, for the average person who may not be a coder or a developer. It's super user-friendly, and the learning curve on WordPress is next to nothing. So essentially, it doesn't matter which platform you're on. It could be really just a regular HTML website or WordPress. At the end of the day, WordPress is a user-friendly way to display HTML.
So go ahead. No.
So they're all just displaying HTML, whether it's WordPress, Squarespace, Shopify. They're all using HTML at the end, and that's what Googlebots are reading, is the HTML.
And another thing that I don't do as well as I'd like, I don't do as many blog posts as I would like, but I've always been told a great way to get noticed and Google to like you is to have a blog. And if you're going to have a blog, keep up on blog posts, get them regular, get them once a week or two, three times a month. What are your feelings on a blog and the importance of keeping it relevant and up to date?
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely a lot of cool on-page SEO tricks that can be done when you update your blog. First, Google does look at what we call an FOP, a frequency of publish. If you are frequently updating your website, it's signaling to Google that you're up to date. You care about your website. You care about providing value to the web visitors. And that definitely gives them a little a trust signals that you're there. Plus, you could also interlink, kind of like Wikipedia. Think how anytime you go to a Wikipedia article, they're linking to other pages on their site. If you do it naturally, obviously Wikipedia is a bit much with their outgoing or internal links, but if you interlink to another blog post that might be relevant, or you interlink to your portfolio if you mention it, or a specific gallery that you've done, you know, that works out very well.
What about years ago, maybe 4 years ago, I did a blog post called Pole Photography 101, and Larry Lorman over at Photography for Real Estate, realestate.net, a blog. He posted it and he promoted it and it got a lot of hits. I always felt that that was really a big part of my raising on the SEO because it got so many hits. Is that so?
It's definitely possible, especially if you have Google Analytics installed. No one will ever admit it, but Google Analytics pretty much has a backdoor key into your website if you have the code installed and you're using that to track how many visitors are coming to your website, where they're coming from, what device they're on. And in your case, it would probably be all referral traffic. It definitely shows Google that there's a variety in your incoming traffic, and as opposed to being strictly on one source, on one platform, it has its benefits. Is it the end all be all? There's no data to show that it is, but it definitely doesn't hurt to have other people share your links on social media. Send it out to the newsletter, whatever it be.
And Brian, when did you use your brother to help you with you know, the kind of ranking and SEO and that whole genre, or did you do it yourself?
I'm not going to help him.
So,
unless you pay him,
you know, it's funny. Actually, most of my rankings that I've done have been on my own, and obviously, I defer with questions here and there to Jason, you know, for little specific things here and there. But it was the type of thing where I knew throughout my career, especially nowadays with the way the web is, that, you know, for the next 40, 50 years of my life, I'm going to have websites and I'm going to need to rank them. So I'm going to need to learn how to do that. Obviously, I can't do it close to what Jason can. If I could, I'd be in the digital marketing industry. But that being said, I felt it was important for me to at least, you know, gain enough ground in the basics for me to be able to do it on my own, especially for local. I would have no idea how to rank or try to rank a, you know, a national site or anything like that. But for something that's as regional as what we do, I feel like I was able to learn enough, kind of doing and asking questions here and there when I needed to, and I've been successful. It took me probably 7-8 months to go from when I rebranded my whole site to, you know, the top 3 or 4 search results. So with enough, you know, hard work and persistence, it can be done. It's not out of question, especially in our industry.
Yeah, and it's always good to start off, really think about what you're going to do and what your domain name is going to be when, because when you get it going, it's what you got. And let me ask you a question. What is the pros and cons, and this may not even be SEO, but what's the pros and cons to a lot of people, like I have my website is richbaum.com, and that's kind of my way of thinking. But a lot of people want to have a business, they want to have a name, and they want to possibly have something that, hell, they could sell it in the future, sell off their domain name. What's your opinion on that?
I really think, like you mentioned, it comes down to the business model, the end goal, where you see yourself in 5 years. In 5 years from now, are you a one-man show that's making a hell of a lot of money doing jobs here and there? Or are you bringing on other photographers? You know, are you bringing five other photographers? So I think it really depends on the business goal. And I'm not one to give business advice, but if you want to make a lot of money doing jobs here or there, go for your brand name. You know, stick to your name. Get your name out there. Obviously, people will remember your name versus a specific brand name. And if the other goal is the opposite, just to eventually sell off your agency or your photography business, then go for the brand route. But again, I think you have to spend time, you know, maybe take a piece of paper, pros and cons, where you see yourself in 5 years, what do you want to be doing in 5 years, who do you want to be with, et cetera.
I have both.
Yeah, Brian does have both. And I remember it was funny because probably about a year ago, Brian saying that he's going through his rebranding and he's like, okay, I'm going to set everything up in place. And then maybe in a few weeks, we'll get together and we'll talk about the SEO on my website. And a few weeks went by and he actually said, look, I'm ranking.
That's great. And I'm looking up right here, Jason Berkowitz SEO.
Yeah.
Nice picture.
Oh, thank you. Good.
And what kind of website do you have? Did you build your own? Or
originally, I built it myself, but now we have developers that take care of it. I don't have patience to deal with code anymore. And I believe Brian built his website himself also from WordPress.
Yeah, all my websites are WordPress platform, both of my websites. So like you said, it's easy to use, very user-friendly, and they have little plugins that can help with the titles and the descriptions, which you were describing about, which is definitely something we should mention because we were talking about keywording for titles and descriptions. And in case people aren't aware, those are, you know, you can insert those titles and descriptions in whatever, typically in whatever platform you're using, whether it's WordPress, Wix, you know, Squarespace, any of those platforms. There's usually areas on every page where you can just go in and put your titles, which should include your keywords and your description and all that stuff.
Let me ask you then, it's great timing because all my websites are WordPress based, but I just did for the last 3 days, I built my own Wix site, a free site, for my new workshop page. And I was really, really happy with it. It was super easy. It just went up today. And I want to ask you, what are some things I might want to do to help with the SEO on my free Wix page, which is probably similar to Squarespace or any other company?
I think the idea would be to get your keywords in there as natural as possible. If you have an option to get your keyword in, for example, the meta description, which is the description that appears in the search results under your website, you really want to focus on conversions. You want to get that click. So having your keyword in there naturally doesn't have to be 6-7 times, maybe once, twice, three times. If it looks natural and the description is focused on gaining someone's attention to click on your website, that'll enhance your click-through rate and obviously get them to your website, which is ideal, and also send Google the relevancy factors. Back in the day, a couple of years ago.
Can you give me an example of a word specifically that you know, just how to use it in a sentence that would be effective?
Yeah, my brother's a photographer, but I'm not that well-versed in the audience. I think Brian might be a better candidate, Brian, to give a good ideal meta description for that.
For workshops? Yeah, I mean.
Well, yeah.
For Rich, I would go something simple, and this is without doing any research, but something you obviously want to put your name in it because, you know, between your YouTube channel and everything else, you have name recognition as far as an educator. So you definitely want to have your name in there. And I would go something like the real estate photography workshop with Rich Baum coming to a city near you, something as simple as that. You know, obviously a little more research, I'd be able to elaborate a little more. But this way you're getting, you know, your main keywords in there, real estate photography workshop, you're getting your name in there. and then maybe one or two other things, keywords that you, you know, another keyword that you, you know, completely different that you want to try to throw in there and just get in that description.
Great.
And even about 2 months ago, Google actually extended the length of the descriptions that they show in the search results.
So I noticed that this week, Jason.
yeah. And it's funny because nobody's updating. The first thing we did when we saw the news, we just updated all of our clients' websites. And some, it might be, okay, it's too long, no one's going to read that, but you can take advantage of it. You know, write book now in all caps. That's going to get somebody's attention versus a bunch of text. So use that to your advantage. If you have some really big hit points that you want your prospective client to look at, you throw it in the description. You know, for example,
I'm sorry, to just elaborate on what you're saying for people that might not be aware, up until, I guess, last week or 2 weeks ago, Google, I think, had a character limit on 160 for a description. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And now they increased it. I don't know what the new number is.
I think it's a range.
Yeah, I think it's not characters. 250, 300, something like that. So, you know, what Jason is saying is now that the description character limit is longer, you know, make your descriptions longer.
And focused on conversion and allows you to get your keywords in there naturally, as opposed to trying to squeeze them in a weird way. You can go off on a longer sentence.
Sure. One cool tip that I've noticed has worked for me, and I don't know if anyone else, you know, has thought of it. I'm sure people have thought of it. But what I do is I put my phone number in the description. And I've noticed I've gotten a couple of calls from people that say they didn't even click on my website. They saw my phone number pop up in the search results on Google and just figured they'd give me a call right away without even clicking to my website.
Yeah.
So in my description, I'll mention keywords like real estate photographer on Long Island, you know, luxury real estate, stuff like that, you know, call now with my phone number. So this way, if people are finding me on Google, they'll see my phone number in the description before they even click through to my website and they can give me a call. If it saves a step.
Yeah. And that ties in with what Google wants, answer box. So if somebody's looking for a phone number of a real estate photographer and then it shows up right there, what reason do they have not to call?
All right. So Jason, at the beginning, we spoke a little bit, you told me about on-page SEO and off-page SEO, and you kind of went through on-page talking about keywords and how important that is. Explain to us what off-page SEO is and what people have to look for.
Now, off-page SEO is optimization that plays off of your website, and it's kind of similar to on-page SEO that you're sending relevancy, again, geographical relevancy, industry relevancy to your website, but this is coming from outside sources. One of the biggest and most powerful ways of gaining website visibility within Google is a tactic called backlinking. Now, a backlink is when one website has a little blue text where it links back to your website, and that's really the biggest trust indicator in Google's algorithms for ranking a website, as well as good on-page SEO, of course, but they kind of come 50-50. That's the most important thing, is having backlinks from trustworthy, relevant, authoritative websites. And for example, you guys can benefit from getting backlinks from relevant blogs. And in a second, we could talk about how to get those backlinks. It's super easy, how to be contributors on other people's blogs. But that's really the primary thing, is getting a backlink from one website to another. And like you mentioned, it's kind of mimicking the natural word of mouth. You know, if you're giving a referral to somebody, check out this great photographer I know, that person's going to trust you. And that's the same thing with Google. If one website's linking to another, they're basically putting their reputation on the line. This website's a trustworthy source. I recommend them. They deserve to be on top.
Cool. So can you give us, you know, I know you mentioned blogs, but can you give us examples of some, you know, outside sites that we might want to look for links from? I mean, do the famous sites like Facebook or, you know, Instagram or any of that stuff have any relevance if you put links on there to your website, if you post links to your website? Or
absolutely. So they're not going to be the big powerhouse kickers like the social media sites and other local directory type sites like Yelp, Superpages, Manta. Those definitely have some great benefits, and that comes down to a branding thing, where Google actually gives weight to websites that take that extra step to secure their brand online. Definitely has its benefits. You can get your name, your address, your phone number out there, a link back to your website. It definitely has its benefits. But what you really want is backlinks coming in from really relevant sites. You know, if you can get, for example, other photographers that you know to allow you to post on their blog, that's definitely going to provide more power than Facebook, Yelp. And again, they're all 100% essential for any business, no matter what you're in, no matter what industry you're in. But definitely getting other photographers or other news websites to post a link back to your website, whether on a relevant article or relevant content piece.
So get guest blog posts and stuff like that is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's one of the technical terms is guest posting, where a website allows you to post a blog post under your author name.
Sure, you're essentially, well, Google sees it as is another photographer referring you as another industry expert.
Yeah, and since they're willing to mention you guys, that's a passing of trust from one website to another. And the bigger the site, the more authoritative the site, the better it is.
So talk to me. I know Rich is big on this as far as YouTube. I know YouTube is a Google entity, and Rich is a big YouTuber, probably the biggest YouTuber out of the three of us. How relevant is it to have a YouTube channel, have a big subscription base? And, you know, does that have any effect on the fact that Rich said he doesn't do anything SEO and he's ranking number one for Northern California?
There's no direct correlation into YouTube and organic results. It definitely helps build on the entity and the brand. Google has a very technical algorithm called Semantic Web. And what the Semantic Web does is it creates entities based on brands, people associated, geographical location, industry. And basically, the more powerful one of your entities get, or one of the brands or the platforms in that specific entity gets, the whole entire entity grows. So while Rich is growing his YouTube brand, his website and his name overall will increase in visibility.
Jason, what about Google Maps and Google My Business? Tell us a little bit about that and how important, or if it is even important, for people to get their listings out on there.
Oh, it's definitely important. Some search terms you might type into Google, even on your own, when you're looking for, let's say, a locksmith, because you got a little snippet of Google Maps in the top of the search results. We call that the three pack, because there's three listings. Maybe a fourth listing there, which is a Google ad. But it's really important, and that ties into Google Maps locations. And there's a whole other algorithm behind that. The big factors behind the algorithm of Google Maps, the biggest one I would say is what we call NAP, name, address, phone number. And that is having a unanimous name, address, phone number among multiple local directory type sites. We call them citations, but kind of like Yelp, Facebook, Manta, Superpages, City Search, all the different citation websites that are local, but also if there are industry citations or industry directories as well, where you can get your name, address, phone number, that's one of the biggest factors when it comes down to ranking in Google Maps. The more you have, the better. Ideally, you want more, I guess we can call it naps, than your competitors, and that will push you up. That as well as obviously having a good reputation online, having some good reviews. If you have a bunch of one-star reviews, Google may not be as favorable to placing you highly, but reviews definitely play a part. In Google My Business, you have the ability to add a description, get some keywords in there as well, again, keeping it natural. But everyone can essentially have a Google My Business listing. Just go to google.com/business. You can sign up. You get a postcard. They'll deliver and verify your specific location. And that should be the first step when it comes to ranking in Google Maps.
Jason, let me jump in here. For us that are not as savvy as you or Brian, what would you say to, if you wanted to spend, some of the listeners want to spend time just learning more about the real basics? I mean, let's just say that, let's say 80% of what you talked about was over somebody's head. Where would you go just to learn about it? Is there a resource or a website or a Facebook group or something besides, you know, calling you up? But what would you say for people to do just to learn a little more about it, to get their feet wet?
I think the biggest news site in the industry is probably Search Engine Journal. And again, you can Google that to find it. I'm assuming it's searchenginejournal.com. And they really discuss...
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. They really discuss more so about what's happening in the industry. And that's search overall, not only SEO. In terms of SEO-specific blogs, me personally, I'm a bit weary. I like to post what's working and what's not without actually showing data on what's working and what's not. All the blogs that I would read are a bit more technical. They read patents and stuff. Again, you could contact me if there's any interest in the future. You guys want a webinar, I can show some really cool stuff on a screen share. Might be a little bit easier versus...
SEO for dummies. I won't need an SEO for dummies.
It, but it's not good.
I bet.
It's outdated. It probably hasn't been updated since 2006.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Jason. You can do a new one, okay?
I can quit my day job.
I think even if people want to learn just the basics of what we talked about, whether it's keywords, title, mm-hmm. description, some smaller off-page stuff. I know Jason mentioned the word citation. I think a simple Google search will turn up some decent enough results so people have an idea of what they are, and then they can figure out their best strategy. If someone goes and searches in Google, what is, you know, a meta description for your website, or what is a title for your website, that should give them enough information to learn what it is and come up with a strategy on how they want to implement that into their own local campaign.
Yeah, Moz.com is another good one that you'll probably see ranking on Google for SEO. Definition type terms.
Now, before we wrap it up, I know, Jason, you mentioned that you wanted to make a special offer to some of our listeners out there. If you want to tell us a little bit about what that is.
Yeah, to keep it brief, for the first 20 people that email me or get in touch at jason@breaktheweb.org, I'm willing to give them each one-on-one private coaching and analysis for only $100. We'll discuss your marketing goals, analyze your website, and really create a unique strategy to obtain results that's more specific to you.
That's great. So for $100, anyone can get a personalized one-on-one coaching session with you.
Yeah, we offer consulting to a lot of other SEO agencies and in-house SEO agencies out here, but it's a pretty big discount than what we normally would charge.
Awesome. I might take you up on a, do I get 50% off the 50% off? I could use
maybe
some help.
Good, man. You may not need it.
Thank you so much, Jason. It's, you know, it's great for me because, especially me compared to Brian, because I know so little about it. And I know, though, there's enough of me that knows it's really important. So I thank you for coming on and giving us some food for thought.
I appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
All right, great. And Jason, why don't you just, you know, give everyone your website and your email address one more time in case they need to reach out to you.
Yeah, I can be reached via email at jason@breaktheweb.org. You can visit breaktheweb.org, seoservicesnewyork.org, and jasonberkowitz.com.
All right, great.
Pick your choosing.
All right, that wraps up another episode of Shooting Spaces. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and email us if you have any questions, info@shootingspacespodcast.com. Rich, any final words?
Don't forget that we've got the Ask the Guys. We've got an opportunity for you to go on the website, shootingspacespodcast.com, and you can record your own little snippet of a question that you would like. Please don't make it too long, but make it brief. But we're going to answer questions. And, you know, you can send all of us, you know, in questions that you have. You can always contact me through the channels. And getting ready to do my workshops, working on websites. I'm doing the YouTube channel and all that great stuff. So I'm super busy, but never too busy to answer some questions.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Until next time.
See you later, guys.
This has been Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Subscribe to the show and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow Rich and Brian on social media and at their website, shootingspacespodcast.com.